Here's a provocative truth. There's no such thing as a truly free market. Every market operates within boundaries we've simply learned to accept. Consider 19th century Britain, where factory owners argued that labor ought to be free when reformers proposed banning work for children under 9. Today, even the most ardent capitalists accept child labor laws as normal. What changed wasn't economics, it was our values. Markets resemble kung fu movies, where masters appear to defy gravity while suspended on invisible wires. These hidden supports include restrictions on what can be traded, who can participate, and under what conditions. Even supposedly fundamental features, like wages, are politically determined through immigration policies. When Republican Senator Jim Bunning complained that nationalizing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac was something that would only happen in socialist France, President Bush shortly after implemented the $700 billion TARP program while claiming it remained consistent with free market principles. This reveals that no scientifically defined boundary for free markets exists, just political choices we've normalized into invisibility. We dramatically overestimate recent technological changes while undervaluing older innovations that fundamentally transformed society. The internet, despite its importance, hasn't been as revolutionary as household appliances or the telegraph. In 1870s America, domestic servants comprised 8% of the workforce. Today, it's 0.6%. Washing machines reduced laundry time by nearly 6 times. Combined with piped water, vacuum cleaners, and kitchen appliances, these technologies enabled married white women's workforce participation to surge from a few percent in the 1890s to nearly 80% today. This transformation reduced family sizes, raised women's status, and fundamentally altered traditional family dynamics, changes far more profound than how the internet has modified leisure time. The telegraph reduced message transmission from 2 weeks to 7.5 minutes, a 2,500-fold improvement. The internet only improved speed by 5/100 times compared to fax machines. This distorted perspective leads to misguided resource allocation. Countries neglect manufacturing to live on ideas, while focus on the digital divide diverts resources from basic infrastructure like wells and electricity in developing countries. Americans command more goods than most nations, but extreme inequality makes averages misleading. By 2007, 7 countries, including Norway, Switzerland, and Sweden, had surpassed America's per capita income, with the U.S. ranking only 8th in income per hour worked. America's income inequality ranks among the highest in developed nations, reflected in poor health statistics and significantly higher crime rates. Americans work 250 to 300 more hours annually than French or German workers, raising a fundamental question. Does working longer for higher income actually improve quality of life beyond a certain point? The American model of minimal vacation and limited parental leave contrasts sharply with Europe's work-life balance. Hidden costs, higher private healthcare expenses, greater childcare costs, and significant student debt often offset apparent income advantages, suggesting raw income comparisons don't fully capture true living standards. Africa's economic stagnation stems from imposed free market policies, not geography or culture. Conventional wisdom blames tropical diseases, landlocked countries, natural resources, and ethnic divisions. Yet Africa wasn't always stagnant. In the 1960s and 70s, sub-Saharan Africa grew at 1.6% per capita annually, matching the 1 to 1.5% achieved by today's rich countries during their Industrial Revolution. The collapse began in the 1980s with structural adjustment programs imposed by the World Bank and IMF, which exposed immature industries to harsh international competition. Between 1980-2009, per capita income grew at just 0.2% annually, essentially stagnating for 30 years. Many rich countries overcame similar challenges. Tropical diseases plagued southern Italy and the U.S. South. Switzerland and Austria thrived despite being landlocked. Resource-rich nations like the U.S. and Canada avoided any resource curse. Bad institutions and deficient cultures, once attributed to Japan and Germany, transform with development rather than preventing it. Africa's problems stem primarily from imposed policies, not immutable factors. South Korea's 1965 plan to build POSCO, an integrated steel mill, defied free market logic. As one of the world's poorest countries with no steel experience or raw materials, the World Bank called it the worst business proposal in history. Yet with Japanese support and government backing, POSCO began production in 1973 and became a world-leading steel company by the 1990s. Free market theory claims governments can't pick winners because officials lack specialized knowledge and chase political prestige. Yet Japan's METI guided electronics and automobiles, Taiwan built semiconductors through state planning, and Singapore orchestrated its transformation. Western examples include France's aerospace, Finland's Nokia, and America's DARPA, which developed computers, semiconductors, the internet, and biotechnology. Historical evidence shows governments can improve dramatically with political will. Taiwan's miracle was engineered by the Nationalist Party, which had fled China amid corruption accusations. Korea's government, considered hopelessly inept in the 1950s, transformed by the 1960s. The reality? Winners are constantly picked by both governments and private sectors, with the most successful outcomes resulting from joint efforts. In South Korea, 4 out of 5 top science students now pursue medicine, not for higher pay, but for job security. After the 1997 financial crisis, Korea slashed job security and pushed temporary employment to 60%. With minimal welfare support, job loss means catastrophe. Bright students choose medicine's lifetime security over science careers that might end in unemployment at 40. Just as bankruptcy laws encourage entrepreneurial risk-taking, welfare states let workers take career risks. Europeans resist trade protectionism less than Americans because unemployment won't devastate them. They'll receive benefits and retraining. Without this safety net, workers block necessary industrial change. Evidence contradicts claims that smaller welfare states create more dynamic economies. Until the 1980s, the U.S. grew slower than European countries despite its smaller welfare state. After 1990, Finland and Norway, both with large welfare states, outpaced U.S. growth. Sweden matched America's rate. Like car brakes enabling faster driving, welfare states energize economies by reducing catastrophic transition risks. The current crisis isn't as severe as the Great Depression only because of massive government intervention, deficit spending, monetary easing, expanded insurance, and bailouts. Those believing minor tweaks will suffice miss the point. Free market economics foundations are deeply questionable. Capitalism remains our best system, but free market capitalism is just one flawed variety. Different capitalisms exist: American, Scandinavian, German, French, Japanese, each with distinct approaches. We must recognize human rationality's severe limitations. The 2018 crisis revealed how financial complexity has outpaced our understanding. We should ban complex financial instruments unless they demonstrably benefit society long term. By glorifying individual enrichment, we've allowed financial actors to destroy jobs and damage our environment. We need organizations rewarding trust, solidarity, and cooperation. The supposed trade-off between big government and growth is false. Scandinavian countries prove large welfare states can coexist with strong growth. The world system needs to favor developing countries, providing policy space for protectionism and investment regulation, policies rich countries used during their own development. The choice isn't between capitalism and something else. It's between a capitalism serving the few and one working for everyone.